conversations like I always do with the Lord, saying, Lord, you know, where are we going in terms of what we've been talking about? Because we've been spending these weeks, right, talking about what it means to follow Jesus and how what it really means for us in, under the new covenant is to become transformed into his image, right? That's really the idea. And so, you know, I continue to have these conversations with the Lord about, well, you know, what's next? What do you want us to talk about next, right? So I'm doing that. I usually do that on Monday. You know, I say, okay, Lord, where are we going to go for this next week? And so he says, you're not finished.
You heard him a lot better this time, right?
I never had any problem with that, all right? And since I got a lot of Puerto Rican friends, I never had a problem hearing that either. So you can't play with a player.
Yes, we can.
Oh, man.
Don't get me started. So anyway, so yeah, he's saying to me, you're not finished with the orphan spirit. Oh. And I was like, okay. And so he reminded me of another teaching that I had done on the subject where I had broken down, and here, Rosa, you can hand out.
Sure, I'd be glad to.
Where he had broken down the work of the orphan spirit into these five major categories, which when I read that, I said, oh my gosh, I should have just said this last week. But I also said, you know, a bunch of other things. And, you know, just if you want to catch up, right, keep in mind that all this stuff is now available on our heavensinvasion.com website. So you can go back and you can either watch the video or you can listen to just the audio. So you can stay in step with what we're talking about. But this thing right here, where we see these basic issues, and we talked about some of this last week, but again, I just really felt strongly the Lord says, you're not done. Because what he wants us to really look at tonight, I believe, is, okay, how do we actually reverse the work of the orphan spirit? How do we actually do that? How do we reverse what he works on in our lives and in the lives of others? Because honestly, what I'm seeing is that, you know, he's raising each of us up into a place where we're going to be carrying this kind of love from the heart of the Father. Because basically, when you think about it, this entire planet is an orphan planet. Wow. Because there's so many people that live in that place of separation from the Father. And so, I believe that he wants us to get a little more deeply into this so that we can be sure we're free, so we can set others free and bring them into this awesome relationship with a Father that is so much better than any of us have ever imagined, right? So, you know, the first item on this list is that the orphan spirit seeks to drive a wedge between my heart and my Heavenly Father's love. Wow. That's the nutshell right there. If you want to understand the work of the orphan spirit, that's it. That's about as concise a description as you can find, is that it works to drive a wedge between you and Papa. Okay? And so I want you to think about yourself, you know, and your own situation, your own life, right? Can you identify what the wedge is? What's the wedge? What's that thing? And it may be some of these other, you know, parts that we list here, trying to convince me that God is to blame for all my troubles and unanswered prayers, you know, that I need to look elsewhere for my needs to be met other than from Him. To, you know, creating confusion, distance between me and God, me and others, and this idea of being driven to perform perfectly, you know, so that I can prove myself, so that I can deserve His blessing. All these are parts, you know, of what He does, what it does. I'm going to call it a He. What it does, right? So think about, what's the wedge? What does the wedge look like for you? You know, as I meditated on this week, And just, you know, as you go through the week, the Holy Spirit is so faithful to bring to your remembrance, right? And so I remember at one point this week where I was kind of looking over things in, you know, my life and ministry and different things. And one of the things that I seem like I struggle with is comparing myself with others. You know, I look at other ministries and other leaders and see how maybe they're doing things that I think they're doing things better. You know, that they're doing things in a way that seems like they're, you know, having more of an impact or whatever. You know, there's just different ways you can look at that. And so I remember looking at that and realizing that I was feeling, you know, kind of like a failure. Because I didn't see myself, you know, with the same level of impact as maybe other people that I know, other ministries that I'm familiar with, right? I mean, one guy that I follow very closely right now is Andrew Womack. And when you listen to this man's testimony about what he's accomplished and what he will be accomplishing for God, I mean, you sit back and go, oh my gosh. It blows your mind, right? So I was going through that, and all of a sudden I realized, oh, this is a manifestation of the orphan spirit. Because what it's trying to do, it's trying to make me feel that I am not accepted for who I am by Papa. You know? And so once I recognized that, I was like, oh, I waited for that junk. You know? And so I was able to apply what I know from the Word of God about who He really is and who I really am to Him, and basically reverse that feeling, that sense I was, you know, starting to get crushed by. Okay? And so that's one of the major things that, you know, that I deal with on a regular basis. It's like, you know, when you lead something, you want it to be as big and powerful as it can be, and when it doesn't look like that, you've got to go back to Papa and say, who am I? How do you really feel about me? You know? So that's me. What, somebody else share. What's the wedge for you?
You
got to speak up, because I can't hear you. Even with my good ears now, I can't hear you.
One of the things that drew me to you is your humility. I never ever thought you struggled with something like that. You have such an amazing heart of a servant that I tell you, when you share that, I never ever saw you.
So you don't think I'm human, huh?
Everybody has
different things. Let me get down just a little bit lower, so you know. I don't want to be on anybody's pedestal.
No, it's just your humility.
No worries.
No worries.
Tendencies.
No worries, Rusty.
Get choked up by things, just like anybody else. So honestly, I mean, who wants to share a little bit? Let's dialogue about this for a few minutes.
For 9 years, there was a saying, "The road to hell is paved with good intentions." My hint is that I'm always trying to help. I would, you know, they say sometimes you have to, you know, not sometimes you should always seek God before you do anything. I'm always trying to help. And then when it works out bad, I look at myself and I say, you know, I am just at a loss. Because you tell yourself, here I am trying to help. And then it always reflects like I end up being the bad guy. So all the goodness gets turned around into something that's ugly. And it makes you want to never want to help again.
Right.
You know, you get to that point where would never want to help again, but if that's who you are, if you stop helping, then your true essence, the essence of who you are is gone. So that is my orphan spirit.
Yeah. So how does that affect your relationship with the Lord when that happens?
I pray to God that I don't lose this wonderful gift that He gave me the gift that I always, always want to help, I always want to give of myself. I pray to God that I don't get bitter. Because if you try to help people and it turns around on you, you can't get bitter. And there's a lot of people that I know, even some of my Christian friends, that would tell you plain, I ain't helping nobody again. You know, because I try not to get bitter. I try to put it in his hands and to let him know that regardless of what has happened in the past, I still want to be there for you if you need it.
Okay, great.
That's where discernment comes in too.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced that. I've been sued. And like, just like really
been sued?
Yo, yeah. I've been bribed.
Wow.
you haven't made it so you've been sued.
Keep that in mind.
I mean, it was thrown out and all because it was just craziness. But yeah, the whole like you pray that, you know, pray for discernment because I know for me, I'll see these red flags but just ignore them because I gotta help the people. I gotta help, you know.
Right.
And if you ignore them, it's on you now, you know. Hmm. So.
And I think too that there's an interesting side to this that I don't know that we think about a lot, but you know, when Jesus was here, he did not fix everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, there's that one story where he comes into this section of Jerusalem where there's a pool where the angel comes down and stirs the water, right? And there was like dozens and dozens of people all around that were sick, but he only looked at one and healed that one. Why? Because he understood that there's assignments.
Right.
And not every opportunity to help is a necessarily an assignment from the Lord. You know? And we can, maybe that's part of the lesson that, you know, you learn from that is, okay, I have to ask, do I do this or not?
Mm-hmm.
Just because I can doesn't mean I should, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So what? Somebody else. What's the wedge that you struggle with?
I'm not sure if this qualifies, but I kind of think it does. So I want to say for me, because I'm working on it now, my attitude about money and like knowing that God is my source. And everything else is just a resource.
Yeah.
And not allowing that whole spirit of religion, like I've tithed forever. And it's like, okay, here's your, you know, I had gotten to a point where I started giving like 25%. And it's like, okay, here's your 25%, the rest is mine. You know, and I can just do whatever. And just allowing God to get into that too, because it's not mine.
Sure.
You know, so
describe the wedge, though. What is it that in that kind of tries to separate you from the heart of the Father?
Greed. Just doing what I feel like I want to do.
Okay.
You know, because right. You know it's mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And you actually believed that lie.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And I thought I was doing something good too.
Yeah. Right. God, I'm doing you a favor. Look, I'm giving 25%.
Yeah. And even with the 75%, I mean, I stay giving. Like,
yeah.
She could tell you so many. Like, I love like giving and all. But,
yeah.
But still, it's not mine to give, you know?
Okay.
I put myself in situations where, oh my God, so. At this gas station in D.C., the guy comes up to me, Miss, and sob story, and I just need some money for the bus and all. And then
I give him
money, and I gave it to him with an attitude. And I knew I shouldn't have given him anything. I gave him like $5. Then I'm pumping my gas. He comes back, Miss, a different sob story. And I said, I just gave you money. And it's like, oh, that was you.
Oh, man. You know, if you want to be a successful panhandler, you got to have a memory for faces, right? Come on.
Right. So, yeah. An example of helping when I had no business. I didn't.
Wow. Interesting. All right. Somebody else.
I have one. For me, it's like if my heart decides something, then I should go for it. And I tell you why. When you gave that, remember when you gave it last time, maybe 2 years ago, about the orphan spirit?
Yeah.
What happened was I wanted a tuna sandwich so bad. And I said, Todd, let me go to the store and get a roll, right? And rolls for me, you pay three rolls for $1, you know? So he took me to this little corner store because he didn't want to take me to extra. It was just like away from the home. And the corner store was closer to the house. So he takes me to the corner store, and the guy wanted 89 cents for a roll. Okay. I said, man, I ain't paying no 89 cents. That's almost $1 for a roll. So I come back, and I ain't had nothing in my hand. And my husband said, so what's the roll? I said, Todd, man, you don't gonna believe this. That man wanted $1 for a roll, 89 cents? He said, and you didn't pay 89 cents for that roll, sir? And I said, no, I'm going to get three for $1. He said, well, you're going to go home and not eat no tuna because I ain't saying that. You wanted that tuna so bad that you didn't want to spend that $1 so you could enjoy a good tuna. He said, that's okay, well, you ain't going to have no tuna in that because you ain't going to be no $3, no three roll for that. And he did. He didn't take me, you know? But I learned from that time to now. Now, anything that I have a desire for, if it's reasonable, both are going to get it. Because God said, I could have it.
Yes,
I was deprived myself from that.
Yeah, right.
You know? The Lord didn't tell me, oh, no, don't buy that roll for 89 cents. Mm. I had the money. Mm. As a matter of fact, I had $5. I could have bought two of them.
Right.
And so my thinking, my what you call it, your orphan spirit, my thinking wasn't with that. When all along God said, you could have it, you know.
So, but what was it about the paying that money that you felt was wrong?
Because growing up, we lacked in everything.
Oh,
you know, growing
okay.
up, in my house, we had oatmeal for dinner.
Yeah.
Sometimes we ain't had no dinner.
Okay.
So everything from the time I came to you,
right.
I was saving. Everything was like, you know,
you were a hoarder?
Well, no, not saving the same, but if I could get a roll for $3,
okay,
for $1, three rolls for $1,
okay.
Then I'm going for, I don't care if the roll is in Shopper and I'm over here in North, you know, I'm going to Shopper to get the three rolls for $1.
Come on.
That was my mindset.
Yeah.
But God broke me out of that.
Right.
And my husband too, because he said, you should have never find yourself of something that you really want, because first of all, God has it for you.
Yeah.
And that's I did
good. That. I cried myself.
And I
did.
I was so mad. I ain't had no tuna either.
You learned. You're worth the price of the tuna.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Exactly. More than that.
Wow.
More than that.
I don't know if everybody remembers from school supernatural. Remember filling out that form about lack? Remember that? I was like first semester, and the basic idea was that that you count up as many as you wrote, as many checks as you wrote. Do you remember this? It was about lack, and you hand it was with Chris Bellatoon. Remember, like one of the questions was, if it's a bargain, would you?
Yes,
yeah. Well, I passed with flying colors. Then I look back at it and I go, you know what? I always go for a bargain. And so I think some of these questions are from California or something. Because I get like trick questions. Because if you go for a bargain and you get it, oh man, you're happy.
Of course. Absolutely. So who else? What's the wedge that you deal with?
Well, for me, I think it has been the idea for accepting that somebody can love you. And I think that we all struggle with that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we want to be God's love to people, but yet we can't accept it for ourselves. And I find that a lot of times I will put myself in positions that I shouldn't put myself in because I'm seeking to be loved.
Okay.
Wow. And, you know, I was with my ex-husband for like 10 years, and it was such a dysfunctional relationship.
Right.
But it was like, this is love.
Right.
So
what you thought was love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, it puts a distance between God and myself, because it wasn't until you said, you know, like, well, if you don't get this need met through God,
right,
you can't do it with everybody else.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, you know, I believe in His love. I believe that He loves us all.
Yeah.
But there's still like this gap between Him and I when it comes to that. And like really accepting, like, there's nothing that you can do that will make me love you more. Mm-hmm. And I keep asking Him, I keep going, can you just, like, you know, hit me with it? And I'm like,
hit me with your best shot.
But at the same time, it's almost like, if you hit me with it, I might just die, because your love is so great and I just can't seem to, like, grasp it.
Wow.
So
he would never do that.
No, it wouldn't. But you know, it's just
so
like.
You know.
But like, my understanding of His love is so big that I can't seem to like get myself around it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't know. It's really difficult. I can't even like explain it well.
Yeah. No, I understand.
But I'm in that road, and
good.
He'll do it. Yes.
You know,
good.
I'm going through the same thing you go through, working through with love.
Yeah.
And look at when I think that I was married and divorced, and then I tell myself, I said, I feel like if I give my love to people, and they didn't give it back to me. And I was bitter for a long time. And then when I started my relationship with God, and I sit down and I think about, whenever I think about God, and I'm praying and I'm praising God, and the tears start to flow, and I start to feel so loved.
Yeah.
I sit down and I say, you know what? I never had no love like this.
Yeah.
I never loved no man like this. I never loved no man when I sit on and think about him, tears run down my eyes.
Yeah.
And I cry and I feel so happy and I feel so loved.
Yeah.
And because of that, you know what? I'll never get married again. And it's not because I hate men. Don't get me wrong. I know that no man could love me like God. And that is how I deal with my problem. I never get married again. Not interested in no relationship. I was married 3 times. So I kept looking for love, looking for love.
Yeah.
And I finally found one love that I never, never, never knew before. God's love.
But you know what? The funny thing about it is that I keep getting my prophecy after prophecy about this great marriage that I'm supposed to have.
Yeah.
But it just hit me now. And he's like, can't have it yet because you're not ready for it yet.
Yeah.
Because you can't give
yeah.
what I want you to give to
sure.
this person because you haven't gotten it.
Yeah.
So it's,
that's good.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not saying it's
right.
Right.
It's just
right.
that it's the time is not ready.
Yeah.
Right.
You got wisdom on it. That's good.
Yeah.
Listen, we are all one encounter away from healing the orphan spirit in us. And we can have multiple encounters in His love. You know, when I consider how Paul described it, right? He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and you, being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded, what does a root do?
Well,
but what's the function?
Feed.
It's an anchor. It's an anchor.
Right?
Yeah, but it grows.
But what's its major function?
To feed the plant.
Feeding the tree.
Exactly. It provides the sustenance that the plant needs. Right? So we are rooted in love. We're grounded in love. You know that word, the same word that Jesus used when He talked about the man who built his house on the sand, the man who built his house on the rock. That rock, that foundation, right? You cannot be shaken when you're on that rock. Okay? No matter what happens in your life, no matter what the devil or anybody tries to take away from you, you're rooted in love. You're receiving from the heart of the Father, you can't be separated from it, right?
Mm.
So we're rooted and grounded in love, but that's not even enough. Because He goes on to say that you would know the height, depth, length, and breadth and to know it experientially, even though it's beyond comprehension. That's all, you know, Ephesians chapter 3. Paul's describing the love of God, right? And so when you start to think about and meditate on just that, okay, I'm rooted and grounded in love. I can't be separated. I can't be shaken. It's solid. The love of God is solid in my life. But you know what? That's not enough. Do you realize that when Paul describes the height, depth, length, and breadth, he doesn't give actual dimensions. He just gives direction. Which means, this is what I think it means, I believe it's permission from the Father to explore the dimensions of His love. To begin to say, you know what? I wanna know what is the height of your love. I wanna know what's the depth. I wanna know what's the length of breadth. Let me explore this undiscovered territory, which is your love. I wanna know more about it. And I just don't wanna know about it in my mind, right? We all can say, oh yes, I know God loves me because the Bible says so. You know, Jesus loves me, yes, I know. Yeah. You know, we all know that. You're laughing at me. Right?
I'm sorry. That's okay, so good.
You want me to dance?
No.
You read that? But you know, that's the mind, the intellectual thing, right? But the word that Paul uses there, that you would know the love of God, even though it's beyond comprehension, that word know means to know by experience. Mm-hmm. Which that's an encounter. Mm-hmm. Right? That's an encounter. And so I feel like this is the major thing that the Lord's emphasizing for us right now. That we need to just, Lord, I need an encounter. I need more encounters with your love. Because without that, what do I have? You know? If I, 1 Corinthians 13, right? If I do all these things without love, I'm worthless, I'm a clanging cymbal, I'm whatever, I can't remember the whole thing, but you know, read it sometime, you know what I mean? But he lists all of these amazing accomplishments. He says, if you don't have love, you ain't got nothing. Right? So I just, this is something that I'm so, I don't know, is anybody else feeling this with me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That this is the word of the Lord for us right now?
Yeah.
I mean, we're called to take His presence and His love outside the four walls. That's the whole focus of why we come together. You know, I want us to have the most amazing times in His presence when we're here, but this is not where it's at. This is just preparation. This is just getting us ready for the real deal, which is out there. And so I just feel such a passion in my heart that we all would be thoroughly blasted by the love of God, so that wherever we go, whoever we meet, there, you know, I love Graham Cook's phrase. He says, people who don't know God yet, and even Christians who don't know God yet, right? None of them are safe from a blessing. That's, you know what I mean? It's like, I want to just excel at that. Okay? Excel at that. So that I meet somebody, and it's almost immediate. God just begins to show me where they need to know His love. And I can just begin to say, hey, you know what? I know somebody that can help me. And just begin to release. Okay? Man, think about it. If we would aspire to that, there is absolutely nothing that God couldn't do through us. Because His love, I mean, it's the greatest force in the universe. There's nothing greater than the love of God. And I have this dream in my heart that we get to the place where anybody that either comes in here or that we meet out on the streets, they get so touched by the love of God that everything gets fixed. I mean, everything. Is that possible? Is that a pipe dream?
All things are possible for those who believe.
Come on, right? Again, the things hidden belong to Him, The things revealed belong to us.
Yes.
And if we're starting to see something that goes beyond what we've ever thought about before, what, God, you mean we could actually be vessels of a manifestation of your love, that people that we meet, that everything could get fixed in a moment? Well, why not? Why not?
What's what I love is the fact that I finally found someone who I could love, who would never hurt me.
Right.
It's like when I'm talking to my friends who have been in broken relationships, I tell them, go and learn to love God. If you get find a relationship with God, you will never, ever, ever get hurt. His love is safe. Oh my God.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry.
So I just feel like this is a focus that I'm going after, and I invite you guys to go after it with me. All right. We're not even going to deal with what I had planned for tonight, because we're in the moment with the Lord, right? So what my suggestion is go look in the scriptures. I could probably, maybe I'll send this out somehow. You know, there's scriptures that will reverse every single one of these orphan spirit deals. Okay? And we need to know what that word is. We need to know what those scriptures are so that we can be effective at helping people. Right? But the bottom line is, the most help that we can ever be is to just be that person that can release that level of His presence through us to touch and heal and fix and all whatever. You know? Oh, God. Yeah.